Psalm 103. I'll read the first part of the verse and you read the indented part. Psalm 103. When I stop hearing the pages turn on, though, we have all found our place. Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul.
And all that is within me.
Bless God,
holy
name.
Bless the Lord, O my soul. Who forgives all your sins,
and heals all your diseases,
who redeems your life from the grave,
and crowns you with steadfast love and mercy,
who satisfies your desires with good things,
so that your youth is renewed like an eagle's.
O Lord, you provide vindication
and justice for all who are oppressed.
You made known your ways to Moses,
and your words to the
Lord, you are full of compassion and mercy.
Slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love.
You will not always accuse us.
Nor will you keep your anger forever.
You have not dealt with us according to our sins.
Nor will you feed us according to our iniquities.
For as the heavens are high above the earth,
so great is your steadfast love for all those who fear you.
As far as the east is from the west, as a father has compassion for his children,
so you have compassion for those who fear you, O Lord.
For you know well how we are formed.
You remember that we are but dust.
As for mortals, their days are like grass.
They flourish like a flower of the field.
When the wind passes over it, it is gone.
And its place shall know it no more.
But your steadfast love, O Lord, is forever with those who fear you. For those who keep your covenant.
And remember to do your commandments.
The Lord's throne is established in heaven.
God's dominion rules over all.
Bless the Lord, you angels, you mighty ones who do God's bidding.
Who obey the voice of God's word.
Bless the Lord, all of you hosts of God. Bless the Lord, all you works of God, in all places where God rules.
Bless the Lord.
Our gospel lesson tonight comes from the resurrection story according to St. John. It's the story that where Jesus appears to Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene stood crying outside the tomb. She was still weeping when she stooped down and saw two angels inside. They were dressed in white and were sitting where Jesus' body had been. One was at the head and the other was at the foot. The angels asked Mary, "Why are you crying?" She answered, "They have taken away my Lord's body. I don't know where they have put him." Soon as Mary said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know who he was. Jesus asked her, "Why are you crying? Who are you looking for?" She thought he was the gardener and said, "Sir, if you have taken his body away, please tell me so I can go and get him." Then Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him, "Rabboni." The Aramaic word Rabboni means teacher. Jesus told her, "Don't hold on to me. I have not yet gone to the Father. But tell my disciples that I am going to the one who is my Father and my God, as well as your Father and your God." Mary Magdalene then went and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord. She also told them what he had said to her. The word of God, the word of life. In tonight's vignette, this author talks about this verse about Jesus and Mary getting together. And he talks about why Jesus doesn't want Mary to hold on to her. And that's the point, so watch for that point closely.
Thank you.
I ran into this guy recently that I knew in college, and he started telling stories about this person and that person. And remember we went here, and remember that, and remember when that happened, and he's getting more and more excited. And partway through our conversation, I had this thought, that was years ago. It seemed in some way as if he's still back there, like he never left, as if those were the best years of his life. There's this fascinating interaction in one of the accounts of Jesus' life. It's right after he's been resurrected, and so it's this central event in human history. I mean, it's the event at the center of the Christian faith. And Jesus has just risen from the dead, and the first person he sees is Mary Magdalene, and he says to her, "Don't hold on to me." The first thing Jesus does after being resurrected is he tells someone not to hold on to him. Now, perhaps a little background would help. In the book of Luke, it says that Jesus had this group of women who traveled with him and supported him, that they learned from him, and they were actually the ones who paid his bills out of their own pockets. And it's written that one of these women, her name was Mary Magdalene, and that she had 7 demons, but Jesus had delivered her from them. Wait, 7 demons? Come on, like, this is one of those passages where you're like, I could use a little more information here. But whatever it means, it's safe to say this woman has a story. Her life has been drastically transformed because of this Jesus that she's met. I mean, she owes him everything. I mean, imagine spending that kind of time with someone and then watching them killed on an execution stake. No wonder she stays around after everyone else has deserted them. And then she's the one who comes to the tomb a few days later and finds out it's empty, and so she goes looking for the body. And she's the one who's in the garden looking for the body when she runs into this man who she thinks is the gardener, and then all of a sudden she realizes it's Jesus, and he's alive, and he's back. And so she goes to embrace him, and he says, "Mary, don't hold on to me." I mean, wait, this is Jesus, like the divine embodiment of love and compassion. And Mary goes, looks like to hug him, and he says, "Don't." I mean, are we missing something? I mean, Mary assumes that he's back, right? That he's back and he's alive, and so things are going to go back to how they always were, back in the good old days when they would all eat these big meals as a group, when they would travel and tell stories and laugh. But Jesus hasn't returned to make things how they were. Things have changed. Mary, things aren't going to be how they were. My friend has a daughter. She's in junior high. And we were all at a party recently, and she started talking about the boys at her school. And my friend is saying, "I don't want to know this. Please don't tell me this." And she's laughing, and he's laughing, and we're all laughing. But there was something else going on there, because my friend's little daughter isn't a little girl. She's turning into a woman right before his eyes. And for a dad, that isn't easy. And so he does the, you know, "Don't tell me this. I don't want to know that you're noticing boys or that boys are noticing you." And so it's funny and we all laugh. But the truth is, it's also painful, because life isn't static, is it? It ebbs and it flows, and people grow up and move away and graduate and lose their jobs, and people that you love die, and some people get married and others don't, and some get divorced and some get cancer, and things aren't how they were. Now after Jesus talks with Mary Magdalene, he goes and he appears to his other disciples, the ones who deserted him. And he tells them that it's time for them to take his message to the ends of the earth. He tells them it's a whole new day, everything's changed, and God's going to give them everything they need. He essentially tells them they're going to receive a new spirit, one for today, and he promises them that they're going to have everything they need for their new life. Or think about the couple who've been married for years, and they speak with longing about the early days when they were just starting out. And after a while, you begin to wonder, would they go back there if they could? Or the person who was the star athlete 20 years ago, and they're still talking about it. And there's this kind of faraway look in their eyes, and there's a longing in their voice. And you begin to wonder, do they believe that their best years are behind them? Or maybe you've been part of a group where there is this impulse to long for how it used to be. You know, back when we were starting out, back when it was the first time, back when everything was new, but it's not. Everything isn't new. We aren't who we were, and things aren't how they were. I mean, how much energy do people spend wishing things were how they were? If you need to celebrate how good it was, then celebrate. If you need to remember how great it was when they were alive, then remember that. And if you need to grieve, grieve. If you need to apologize or make amends, or you need to do something to make peace with how it was, then do it. But then move on. I mean, there's a certain kind of despair that sets in when we believe that things were better back then. You know, when we're stuck back there, when we're not fully present, when we're still holding on to how things were, our arms aren't free to embrace today. As it's written in the book of James, you don't even have a guarantee about tomorrow. I mean, we can't change how it was, and we have no guarantees about tomorrow. All we have is today. I mean, if you live in the fantasy that you'll get around to it tomorrow, that you'll get around to them tomorrow, you will wake up, and it will not be tomorrow. It will be yesterday, and you will have missed it. You will have missed them. I mean, if you're a parent, you're a mom or a dad, the answer isn't to freeze your kids in time so that they don't grow up, you know, trying to keep them younger than they are. The answer is to be so fully present here and now that you don't miss a thing in this day. And then you can let them go and you can let them be who they are because you don't have any regrets because you were there the whole way. Jesus, when he's talking with Mary Magdalene, after the do not hold on to me part, you know what he tells her to do? He says, now go and tell everybody else what's happening. He gives her a part to play. There's a role for her now. Is Jesus saying to you right now, about anything, about anybody, about any time, let go and receive a new spirit? So may you accept the past for what it is. May you celebrate what needs to be celebrated and grieve what needs to be grieved. And then may you receive from God a new spirit, one for here, now, today.
Time we'll invite our ushers to receive our offering.
We'll use the evening prayer at the bottom. Let's join in praying that together. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have graciously protected us today. We ask you to forgive us all our sins, where we have done wrong, and graciously to protect us tonight. In your hands we commend ourselves, our bodies, our souls, and all that is ours. Let your holy angels be with us, so that the wicked foe may have power over us. Amen.
And at the end, let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Almighty God, bless us, defend us from all evil, and bring us to everlasting life.
Amen.
The closing hymn is...
grace. What number is that?
779.
779.